Venerable religious and dear parishioners, yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and it is such a bittersweet feast. In the midst of our Christmas rejoicing, and how happy we can be and should be that we can truly celebrate Christmas in the right way. And those poor worldlings that started celebrating before Thanksgiving, they're done. They're done with Christmas. They're missing out on the best part of all. So as I said, we're in the midst of such great rejoicing. It's a very somber thought that Herod killed not just the baby boys in Bethlehem that were under 2 years of age and younger, but even in the surrounding areas as well. We don't know the exact number of holy innocents that were killed. The numbers vary quite a bit. I've seen as small a number as 25, but in the Greek liturgy, they specifically mention 14,000. So it's hard to tell for sure how many innocent little boys were put to death just because they happened to be a little boy at the time when Herod was trying to kill the divine infant Jesus. So I suppose you could say today is very much a pro-life message that I want to preach. Preaching about the respect that must be given to life. We know there's that very solemn commandment, thou shalt not kill, which means that on our own authority, we can never, never terminate somebody's life. That is the sin of murder, one of the worst sins that can be committed. And as God told Cain after he killed his brother, he said, this cries to heaven for vengeance. It's one of the four sins mentioned in the Old Testament that cry for vengeance. So we have to take this very seriously. And God taught the people in the Old Testament how seriously they must respect life. It was for this reason that they were forbidden to make use of the blood of animals. Now, they could eat the meat of animals, but they were always forbidden to use the blood. Why? Because the blood of the animal was seen as the life of the animal. We know it's really the life principle or soul that gives life, but for the people, the chosen people at the time, they regarded blood as life itself, so it could not be consumed. Even though they had the right to kill the animal and use its, you know, to use it for food, use its the body of the animal for other things. They may make, you know, use the leather to make clothing and other things, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But you could not make use of the blood. And that prohibition was in place even up to the time of the apostles. That was one of the things that was reinforced at the Council of Jerusalem. But the church has not since then made it obligatory. So we are not under the Mosaic law. But that was just one of the ways that God was teaching them to respect life. There are only three instances of justified taking of human life. And that is self-defense. If the only way to defend oneself is to take the life of another, the church and even the state say you have that right to do that. Also, a just war has to be a just war. And the third instance is capital punishment. For the most egregious crimes, criminals do deserve the death penalty. But that's a difficult thing to apply, but the right nevertheless does exist. It has to be carefully used. In the Old Testament, if somebody took somebody else's life, they had to suffer death themselves as punishment for taking the other person's life. So when in this context then of understanding how precious life is, I mean, without that, you have no other rights. I mean, it's the number one right that anyone can have. God-given right. Nobody can take it away on their own authority. Herod was killing these poor baby boys for no crime whatsoever. He had absolutely no right to do that. He was murdering them. So in this context, we have to comment on the sad reality that so many abortions happen in our day and age. It's unthinkable. The safest place in the world for the child should be the mother's womb. But the laws of countries now allow for the murdering of them, and that is the way to describe those terrible acts. One of the worst days in the history of our country was January 22nd, 1973. Because on that day, our Supreme Court declared the unborn child a non-person. It was one of the worst decisions, of course, religiously speaking, morally speaking, and even from the aspect of the law, it was terribly contrived, this whole thing. Basically, the rationale of Roe versus Wade is we don't know what's there, so therefore, you may terminate whatever is there. That makes as much sense as if somebody was out hunting and was thinking, you know, I don't know if that's a hunter or a deer, but I'll shoot anyway. Well, you're guilty of killing a human being because you didn't make sure it wasn't a human being. So it was the most flawed reasoning imaginable. And since that time, we have discovered more, or I shouldn't say discovered, we have learned more and more from modern medical science that that's a human being. It doesn't change species, whatever's in there. It is a human being from the beginning, God infused. An immortal soul. At the moment of conception, it acquired its own life. So there's not a shred of evidence that the pro-choice or pro-aborts can stand on today. Every single argument has been absolutely wiped away, been destroyed, refuted. It's gone. A day has to come in the history of our country where a terrible Supreme Court decision will be reversed. One of the terrible, and this is, by the way, has happened many times in our history because our Supreme Court is not infallible. Only the Catholic Church is infallible in its official teaching. But in the mid-1800s, the Supreme Court decreed that the Negro person was not to be considered as a human being with rights. What an awful, horrible decision. And that had to be reversed. It was reversed. So Roe versus Wade has to be reversed, but it's going to take a lot of grace, a lot of prayer, a lot of suffering, a lot of conversion, because there's so many that want to keep this right. And it's not a right. They want to keep their practice of killing babies in the womb. The Catholic Church has been of course, being the infallible guardian of the truth, she has been so good in protecting life. And one of the automatic excommunications that's in the law of the church is that anybody, and this includes the mother, anyone who has anything to do with an abortion is ipso facto excommunicated. Why does the church give that penalty? To say, let's protect the most innocent life of all. Now remember that excommunication is what is called a medicinal penalty. As soon as the person is sorry, that penalty is to be lifted. So I think that's a point that needs to be stressed and emphasized, that instant mercy is to be had for those who repent of that terrible crime. So again, it's not only the most grave sin against the fifth commandment for an abortion to take place, but for a Catholic, they're also ipso facto excommunicated. There are penalties in the church. By the way, it also reminds me of heresy and apostasy. Those are ipso facto excommunications. By the very fact that the person does it, the penalty is incurred. But again, the Holy Mother, the Church, is trying to teach a lesson. She's trying to help us to understand how important something is. And as soon as the sinner is repented, yes, absolutely, the sin and the penalty will be forgiven. So I know this is a very somber reflection that is made to make during this such a joyful season, but it is a necessary reflection. And of course, it ties in with life, does it not? It ties in with the divine life that was born on Christmas Day. Our Lord was already in Our Lady's womb for those 9 months. The incarnation had already happened. His birth made him visible to all who came to see and worship. So as we celebrate, and we should celebrate with great joy, this holy time of the year, let us be grateful for that gift of life without which nothing else can happen. And let us be aware of the church's teaching. Let us do what we can to promote the pro-life cause. And again, I urge you, whenever you can, go pray at Planned Parenthood. When that happens, as Abby Johnson, the famous ex-Planned Parenthood worker, would say, said the appointments for abortions that day go down dramatically whenever people are out there praying. So whenever you can make that time, I urge you to do so. So let us rejoice again in the divine infant whom we love and adore and bless and honor. And let us pray mightily for the end to that terrible taking of little babies' lives. May that terrible blight come to an end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.